Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
I just really sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit today, and I hope you sense it as well. And there's a reason behind that. But again, so glad that you're here. Today we're calling Vision Sunday 2019, and so if this is your first Sunday, what a great first Sunday to be here to share the vision with you for the first time. It's an honor, and I shared this leading up to today, and by the way, everything that I'm about to say is good. There's nothing coming negative at all. It's all positive, but I've been sharing this leading up to today, and it is the God's honest truth that what I'm going to share with you, I really feel like I've heard from the Lord, and I think that's why there's this heaviness upon me right now. And today is literally the most important Sunday we've had since I've been the senior pastor, and I'm going on 15 months now at the church. And the reason why today is the most important Sunday is because this is going to set us up for the God-ordained future that the Lord has for us. So again, I just want to thank you. Like, I mean that. I hope that's coming across. Thank you for being here. Those that are, I know we've got people celebrating anniversaries. Thank you for listening online today. Even though you're in Napa Valley and all these other places, you're tuned in. So thank you for that. You know, when I take a step back and I think about all that the Lord has done these last 14 to 15 months, it's humbling. It really is. During the time before, and the reason why I use this timeline is because I wasn't here before. Nothing special about me. I talk about that all the time. But the time before, a Sunday service would be anywhere from 40 to 60 in total attendance, and that counted children and staff and volunteers and adults. And look what God has done just in 15 short months. It's supernatural. In fact, we've crunched the numbers, and you can see it if your eyes are open. But we've crunched the numbers, and in the last 14 to 15 months, we've grown by 125%. 125%. Now, double would be 100%, so that tells you where we're at. And so to God alone be the glory for that. It's supernatural what he's done, especially for a church revitalization. If you don't know what that is, that's just a church that God's just resurrecting some things and making it stronger and bringing more life and vitality. And it's incredible what God has done. According to a recent study, and you can look this up for yourself if you like. I encourage you to do that. I can even send you the article if you like. But according to a recent study here in America, anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 churches die every year. Like every year. So here's what this means for this week, Sunday through Saturday. This means that over 100 churches will go away this week here in America. So again, what God is doing is supernatural. According to another study, anywhere from 65 to 80%, the majority of churches have either plateaued or they're declining. Think about that number. 65 to 80% of churches have plateaued or they're declining. Well, what does this mean for us, Pastor? It means this: God is doing what only he can do. God is doing what only he can do. Lives are being changed for eternity as we fulfill our vision, heaven full and hell empty. I don't know if you remember this old analogy, but it's so true for us. It's almost like we're that turtle that's been placed on that fence post. And we know, and everybody else knows, that we didn't get there by ourselves. That somebody put us there, and we know it was God. God Almighty, he's the one, and to him alone be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. God's the one that's rebuilding an incredible church, not just to touch our community, but to touch generations to come with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many stories I could share. In fact, I could take a lot of time, but I've got a lot more to say. But so many stories, even this last year, of what God has done in families' lives, healing people of addiction, saving so many people. It's incredible what he's done. It was just months ago that my wife and I, we were talking with somebody who was here for the first time at that time, first time guest. And they told us that before the message, before the worship, before anything was said from this platform, they were overwhelmed. This is a first-time guest saying this. They were overwhelmed with the presence of God. They were overwhelmed so much they began to weep before God, saying, God, your presence is here. In fact, that's not a coincidence, friend, because we pray for that to happen. We pray that the second that people pull on our campus, that they would feel the presence of God. God's presence and his touch is upon us. You know this, but one of the recurring things that I hear from new families, in fact, there's new families here in this room that you've told me this. One of the things that I hear over and over and over again from new families is, hey, when we came for the first time, we felt loved. When we came for the first time, we felt like we found our family. Who are they talking about? They're talking about you. That no one judged me. No one made me feel like I was a second-class citizen, but I just felt the warmth and the love of God's people. What am I trying to say? You're making a difference. You're making a difference. God is moving. And this gets me excited, and I know it gets you excited too, but in the last 15 months, we've had over 185 decisions for Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that awesome? Now, for the skeptics in the room like myself, I want you to know those are so much more than numbers and statistics. What do we say around here? Every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. Those are lives that have been changed by Jesus Christ. What am I trying to help you see? What God is doing is supernatural. And it's not just in our adult services. I love what God's doing in our next generation. In fact, one of the commitments I made to you first coming here 15 months ago is that the next generation, they are going to be a commitment for us, like a priority. They're not just on the back burners and, oh, they're in another classroom and it'll take care of itself. No, I got to tell you, they matter to us. Why? Because Jesus, he said it himself, bring the little kids to me. They matter to God and they matter to us. I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. We don't babysit around here. Just letting you know, like we don't. We're not into that. We're into ministering to our littlest members. We really are. In fact, if you got a baby like we do now, our baby is a big baby because she's a little over 1 year old now, but she's in the nursery. And I got to tell you that every time her diaper is changed, our daughter, every time, if you got a little one in there, their diaper is changed, they're prayed over. Like every single time, they're ministered to, there's worship. It's incredible what God's doing, even in our nursery. And that goes on to our preschool, our elementary, and of course, our teenagers every single week. But I got to tell you today, God has more for us. God has more. He's doing so much. And I want to share with you first, and then I've got a big announcement at the end, but I want to share with you first about a transition that's coming with our student ministry. You need to hear this. For the past 5+ years, think about that for a moment, the past 5+ years, Tom Fishburne, who was just playing the bass incredibly up here a moment ago, him and his wife, Sarah, they have faithfully served our student ministry. It's called Impact, if you didn't know. And I got to tell you, it's not easy being a pastor nowadays. You never take that job off. All the calls and all the I got to tell you, y'all got issues, okay? I'm just letting you know. You are a lot of work. But guess what? So am I. We got things we're working through. And I honor them because they have faithfully served in that role for 5+ years here at the church. And God's done incredible things in our student ministry. And same way that our adults, like services, we're seeing growth. They're seeing growth on Wednesday nights as well. And again, to God alone be the glory, but they've helped lead that charge. And it was almost a year ago that Tom approached me, literally probably even a year ago now, that he approached me in our one-on-one meetings. I meet with every staff member one-on-one. We pray together. We have oversight. There's accountability. I help them through navigating through problems and things that are coming up in the future. And Tom approached me. I didn't approach him. He approached me a year ago and said, Pastor Ryan, I just want you to know that there's some transitions coming for me. That with my load at Langham Creek High School, go Lobos, there's some things that I've got to take care of even more. And even more than that, Pastor Ryan, he said, God's just doing something in my heart. There's a transition coming. I just want you to know about it early so we can pray through it. And so we've done that literally for the last year. We have prayed and we have fasted and we have sought the Lord. And graciously, and I honor Tom and Sarah, I'm pointing over here because that's where they are in the room. I honor them because here's what Tom could have done. Think about the business world. He could have said, you know what? God's doing this in my heart. You got 2 weeks. He could have said, hey, God's doing this in my heart. And next Wednesday is my last. He didn't do that. He said, I want you to pray. I want you to seek God. We're committed to what God's doing here. And I want to tell you that this last January, 21 days of praying and fasting, God spoke. He spoke. And so, beginning Tuesday, March 19th, in a couple of weeks, Tom will be transitioning out of his current role as student ministries pastor, going, well, he is already full-time, but committing full-time to what he's doing there, teaching science at Langham Creek High School. But here's the cool thing about this, that Tom and Sarah, they're not going anywhere. In fact, you can ask them after service if you don't believe me. But they told me a year ago, and it hasn't changed since. They are committed to what God's doing. You're still going to see Tom playing bass on Sunday mornings. Sarah works in our nursery, one of our amazing volunteers. They're even going to still be involved in Impact for a short little season here at the beginning. And I just love this. Y'all know that most times when transitions happen, people leave completely. And I'm thankful that they're not doing that, that they believe in what God is doing here. And so I want us to pray over them. In fact, I'm going to ask Tom and Sarah to come to the platform here with me. We want to honor them today and pray over them. Yeah, all the way up. Let's get all the way up. In front of the church again, I just want to honor you both. I know I've told you this many times in person, but they need to hear me say it to you. I love you both so much. I'm so thankful for your grace during this year that we've been walking through this. I thank you for your heart for God's church, for the students and Impact, for the people that are seated here today, those that are listening online, and we honor you. There's a lot that you've done behind the scenes that no one saw, but Jesus saw it. It's a lot of sacrifice, and that includes financially. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And we say that, it's not cliche. I'm telling you, blood, sweat, and tears. And so thank you for your service. You've made an eternal impact in our church. And we know this is just the beginning. You're not going anywhere, but still specifically with Impact. You've made such an eternal impact, pun intended, with our young people. So I want to do this. I want you to extend your hands. We're going to pray a blessing over them. Lord, we pray right now for Sarah. We pray right now for Tom. And we honor them. We thank you for how you've used them in an incredible way these last 5+ years. And we know this is just the beginning. We thank you, God, that they're not going anywhere. We thank you, God, that they're so committed to what you're doing here. And we just pray even for their next steps of what you'll do in them afresh and anew. We pray, God, that you would make it crystal clear to them. We pray, Lord, that the same way that they've impacted generations by their service, we believe that they'll continue to impact generations to come. We pray that you would continue to use their marriage, their family, their giftings, their callings, Lord, for heaven full and hell empty. We pray, Lord, that you would give them strength through this transition. God, that you would rain down your love, your peace, and your presence upon their life. May they know how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, and that even though we didn't always see the sacrifice and what took place on Wednesday nights, we know that you use them in an incredible way. In fact, God, I've seen it with my own eyes. It is a fact, not opinion. Heaven is more full and hell is less full because of what they've done. And I give you glory for it. We give you glory for it. And we thank you for who they are and what they've done. And we believe the best is still to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together? That's awesome. You could have a seat. Thank you so much. I told them to hang tight because they know what's coming next. So for the past year again, and specifically this last January, we prayed and fasted every single day. Like, who's that next person? Who's that next leader that you've called to lead the charge? And so I'm really excited. I know you guys are excited to announce this well, but our very own Dante Santi is stepping in. Yeah. Dante, why don't you head up here as well? Dante is going to step in to the student ministry director role beginning on Wednesday, March the 20th. And here's the cool thing about this. I just thought about this. You play bass and you play drums. So we got like a little worship thing going on up here. But here's what's really exciting. We've shared this before, but the last several months, Dante and I've been mentoring him. We've met, 7 months now, at least twice a month praying together. And I've just seen his hunger, his passion for God. He's got the gifting, the talent. We're going to work closely together. We shared this last week with our Impact Adult Volunteers, and they're going to help us in this. And, of course, we shared it a few nights ago on Wednesday night to our Impact students. So we're excited about the next steps and Impact. And so I'm going to have Dante get right here. I'm going to have Sarah and Tom surround him. I'm going to have you extend your hand again. And we're going to just pray God's blessing upon Dante. Lord, we thank you for this young man that not only grew up in the student ministry and not only has been an adult leader in the student ministry for years, but now stepping into a new role as student ministry director. We're excited. And God, we even think about what you're doing in his life. Just here recently, getting engaged to Anissa. We thank you for what you're doing in his life and for what you'll continue to do through his life. And so we lift him up right now as a church before you. God, speaking before you that we're going to support and we're going to pray and we're going to help him as he steps into this new role. God, we thank you that Impact's best days are not behind us, but in front of us. We thank you that there's still so many young people to disciple and reach. And we believe, God, that your anointing, your presence is with Dante. So we pray that you give him strength. We pray, God, that you give him boldness. We pray that you give him great creativity. We pray, Lord, that you would help him to follow your leading, to be radically obedient to what you've called him to do. And we thank you, Lord, that your anointing is going to rest heavy upon him. In fact, right now, there's a transition taking place in the spiritual that we can't see, that mantle being passed from Tom to Dante. And we thank you for what you're doing that no eye can see physically, but it's happening. We thank you. We thank you for this healthy transition. We thank you, God, that there's love and there's grace. And we thank you, God, that you're moving in us and through us. We love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can you put your hands together again? Y'all want to help me preach today? All right, here we go. Got a lot more to share. Thank you for letting me share that with you. If you know me at all, you know this. But I eat, sleep, and dream ministry. I really do. In fact, I was dreaming about ministry last night. And that's just who I am. And I want you to know, if we haven't met, that my time, my talent, my treasure, it's going to be wrapped up in building God's kingdom. I'm giving my life to that call, I want you to know. And so over these last 15 months, seeing what God has already done, I've had to ask this question over and over again. God, what do you have next for us? Like, what's next? Where are you leading? Are you opening up more opportunities for us to make an even greater impact in our city? So today, before I give the big announcement, I want to ask you this rhetorical question. Are you ready to be led by God? Like, are you ready to be led by God? Are you ready to allow God to lead us? Let me tell you today, that as we follow and obey Jesus, our future is bright. But we've got to follow him, and we've got to obey him. If you got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to open up to John with me. Got a quick message I want to share with you before the announcement that I think is very important. But John chapter 2 is where we're going to be today. John is the fourth gospel in your Holy Bible. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that's where you'll find it. And we're going to read a story that maybe is familiar to some, but John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to jump right in. I know you may be turning there. We'll have a giant Bible on the screen for those in the room. But I've got a lot to say and not a lot of time to say it, so I'm going to jump right in. John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, speaking to Jesus, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." Verse 5 is important today. His mother said to the servants, so she doesn't even answer Jesus. She goes right to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby, so what was close, stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So these were large. Verse 7 is also important. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So what did they do? They filled them to the brim. That's important. They filled them to the brim. Then Jesus told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had now been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from. I love this little part, this little footnote of the story. Though the servants had drawn the water, they knew. They knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you save the best till now." See, weddings back then, it was not atypical for them to last up to a week long. And so that's what this person's talking about. Usually, as more and more people have come throughout the week, that's when they bring out the stuff that's not so great. But you brought out the best wine now. In verse 11, the last verse, what Jesus did here in Cana, this was a miracle of Galilee, was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. God, there's a heavy weight on my heart, and God, I believe there's a reason for that. And so I just pray today as we jump into your word, as we learn a couple of important lessons about the supernatural and how we follow you, I pray, God, that every heart, every ear would be open to what you have to say. I pray, God, that as we move through the rest of this message and even towards the end, that you would unify our hearts together with one mission, one cause, one vision, heaven full and hell empty. May you use the first miracle recorded in Scripture, may you use it as a footprint of where we're to go and how we are to follow you. Speak to every person, whether it's their first time in a long time, or they're here almost every single week. Speak to us today, we pray. We've got great expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down. I just have 2 points today, but just a heads up, there's some subpoints as well. But here's the first one. Jesus desires cooperation. I hope you'll write that down, please. Jesus desires cooperation. We see this in verse 5. We just read it. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." And as you think about Jesus' life and as you think about Jesus' ministry, he was always looking for someone to work with him. Like, I want you to think with me today. Think about it. Jesus could have turned the water into wine by himself. Like, he could have done that. He didn't need the servants' help, really. He wanted their cooperation. He wanted their cooperation. And friend, I got to tell you, this is not an isolated incident. In fact, Bible scholars would tell you this is a precedent setting incident. Jesus desires our cooperation. As you think back on the different miracles that Jesus performed all throughout the New Testament, he wanted people to work with him. Here's just one quick example. Remember when Jesus fed thousands? Remember when he did that? Remember when he took a kid's snack lunch and turned it into an all-you-can-eat buffet at Red Lobster? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like cheddar biscuits, baby. Come on, I'm just telling you. Thank you, Lord. Like he did that. Remember that? Well, what did he do? He blessed it, but then he gave the multiplying bread and fish to the disciples to hand out. Like, he could have used a Jedi mind trick or the Force or whatever you called it to move that bread and that fish to all the different people. But no, he chose for the disciples to be a part of the miracle. He could have pulled a Houdini and made it magically appear on every single person's lap, but he didn't do that, did he? He chose to cooperate with the disciples. Jesus wants your cooperation. Let's think about your life practically. Let's think about my life. Think about your finances for a second. It would be great. Like, this would just be so great if Jesus would just zap our finances and bless us? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? In fact, just hold out your hands right now. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you're like, yeah, people are doing it. Please, Lord. Like, boom, and this $100 bills just rain down. Like, that would be awesome. But Jesus doesn't work like that. Instead, Jesus says, hey, we should trust him with our money. Instead, Jesus says, well, you need a tithe, which is a way you trust Jesus with your money. Instead, Jesus says you should save, that we should be the lender and not the borrower. Instead, Jesus says, like you should live beneath your means, right? You should be generous. But here's what we do all the time. We want God's blessing on our disobedience. Got real quiet in here. Real quiet. Can we just be honest? Like, we don't want to do the tithing thing. We don't want to be generous to others. We don't want to cut back. I mean, we got to have cable, Netflix, and Amazon, plus throw in some Hulu. We have to. This is not a want, Pastor. It's a need. I need it. Like we want to disobey but ask God to bless it. That's not how God works. I'm just letting you know. As you cooperate with God, then he blesses your finances. As you're obedient to God, then he blesses your finances. I hope you're hearing me today. Jesus wants our cooperation. As you look deeper into John chapter 2, there are some clues, like hidden in the text, that are going to help you, they're going to help me live out this kind of life, walking in cooperation with Jesus. So this is point one, letter A. Okay, here's where the subpoints come in. Here's the first one. What Jesus asks you to do, you can do. I hope you'll write that down. Jesus desires cooperation. What Jesus asks you to do, make it personal, you can do. Think back with me as much as you can to all the different Bible stories that you know, okay? Then maybe the big ones, maybe you really know your Bible. Think back and just cycle through as many of them as you can. I did this past week, and I couldn't think of one time in the Bible where Jesus asked somebody to do something they couldn't do. Like, maybe you can find one, and if you can find one, tell me about it after service. But even if you can find one, I'll give you 100 more where Jesus asked somebody to do something that they could do. So what does Jesus do? He asked them to grab the stone jars that were close by. He asked them to fill them up with water. Could they do that? Yes, they could do that. Here's part B, though. What Jesus tells you to do may contradict common sense. If you walk with the Lord any amount of time, you know that can be true. What Jesus tells you to do may contradict common sense. The servants, going back to John 2, they were asked to fill up the ceremonial washing jars with water. Well, Jesus, how's that going to help, right? Like, I want you guys to know that ceremonial washing, it was not a pretty thing. These jars were not clean. In fact, they were the opposite of that. And yet, that's what Jesus asked them to do. And how many of y'all know water is different than wine? It's just different. You know, Jesus could have said, hey, go to Costco and pick up some wine. But no, he said, take these stone jars, fill them up with water, and then take them to the master of the banquet. It did not make sense. And what Jesus tells you to do may contradict common sense. And again, this is not an isolated incident, okay? It's not. Here's a couple of examples. One Old Testament, one New Testament. Let's start with the Old Testament. Moses. In fact, I talked about this in our last Vision Sunday, 2018 in November. Some of you were here for that. And I shared about Moses. And Moses, before he leads God's people out of slavery, millions of people, before he does this incredible work for God, he's got questions. He's insecure. He doesn't think he can do it. So what does God ask him to do? He says, God talking to Moses, hey, Moses, you got a staff in your hand, right? You got a staff. Just to show you that I'm going to be with you, I want you to throw down that staff, and it's going to turn into a snake. You can read it for yourself if you don't believe me. Now, let me ask you a rhetorical question. Could Moses do what God asked him to do? Yes, he could drop the staff. Did it make sense? No. And so Moses, he threw it down, and guess what? It became a snake. He picked that snake up. Moses was crazy, y'all, just saying. He picked that snake up, and it became a staff again. What Jesus asks you to do, you can do, but what he tells you to do may contradict common sense. New Testament now, think about Peter. Peter's one of the 12 disciples, mighty man of God. There's a scene you can read about in the New Testament, in the gospel accounts, where Jesus asked Peter to step out of the boat. Now, that may not sound crazy at first read, but let me tell you an important subnote here. There was water on the other side. So he wasn't stepping out of the boat onto shore, stepping out of the boat onto water. And Jesus asked Peter to step out. Rhetorical question. Could Peter do what Jesus asked him to do? Yes, he could. Did it make common sense? Like, was it common sense? No. Last time I checked, people don't walk on water. Just normally. Doesn't happen. But yet Peter obeyed and God came through. It's incredible that the same God that spoke and everything came into existence is the same God that wants to work with you. It's mind-blowing. Like, how could God, like, why would God? I'll tell you why. It's because it shows his glory. That if anybody can use a mess-up sinner like me, God's going to be the one that gets the glory and not man. Shows his glory. So God, Jesus, desires your cooperation. Here's the second point from the text. Jesus' first miracle, precedent-setting moment. Number two, Jesus desires obedience. He desires cooperation, but he also desires obedience. Verse 7 points to this. Jesus said to the servants, fill your jars with water. I love what they did. What did they do? They filled them to the brim, like to the brim, completely full. And you may think this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyways. When Jesus asks us to do something, it's our job to obey as Christ followers. Just want you to know that if you're going to be a Christian, Christ follower, if Jesus says jump, you say, Lord, how high? Like, that's how it should work. And they filled it to the brim. So we are to listen to God and do what he says. Jesus says, fill up the jars, and they fill it up to the brim. Not partial obedience, but full obedience. They did it to the max, y'all. Come on, my 90s loving friends like me. They did it to the max. Y'all remember Pepsi Max, right? Not a sponsor, but they did it to the max. They went all in. They gave it their everything. Hear my heart today. When Jesus asks us to do something, we are to go all in to the best of our abilities. When Jesus asks us to do our work, not for our boss, but to do it because he's our boss, unto the Lord. When Jesus asks us to do that, it's in the Bible, by the way, we are to go all in. We should fully obey. I got to tell you, it shouldn't matter if you're handing out tacos or you're closing million-dollar deals. Like, you should be all in. If Jesus asks us to do something, full, complete obedience. Another place in the Bible, when Jesus asks children, parents, I'm trying to help you out today, but when Jesus asks children to fully obey your parents, students, hear me, your senior pastor, you should fully obey. Trust that God is working in them, okay? They don't have it all figured out, but they got a few more years under their belts. Like, you should fully obey. Let me talk to the husbands. When God says in his word, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, you should fully obey. Even if it costs you your very life. Go all in. Go all in. When the Bible says that we should love the Lord our God, you know the verse, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, you should go all in to fully obey. When Jesus says that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation, that's Mark 16:15, by the way, we should go all in. Like, not hold back or play it safe, but completely, fully obey. And you need to know, like, you need to know this, that this is the only way I will lead my family, and this is the only way I can lead this church. Like, the only way. If you want somebody that's halfway in, it's not me. I'm sure you can find somebody. It's not me. If Jesus says that we should do something, we're going to do it. We're going to obey. If I'm a Christ follower, I'm going to follow Christ. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not following you. not following culture, not following the world's ways. I'm following Jesus. Jesus desires, he wants our obedience. And that leads us to today. Friends, I'll say it again. I'm overwhelmingly confident that God has spoken. 21 days praying and fasting and way beyond that. God wants us to advance and build his kingdom. He's entrusted us with much. I've shared it before, but it's a fact. It's not opinion. There are millions of people in Houston and around Houston that are far from God. Millions. And here in Houston, we drive by some pretty big church buildings, but can I just tell you honestly today, a lot of those are empty. It's just the truth. Most churches have plateaued or declining. But God has entrusted us with much. He's doing something in our midst. I think you'd agree with me that on most days, Monday through Saturday, it's hard to get around, right? It's hard to drive. Traffic everywhere. Don't even get me started about 290, y'all. I'm just saying, perpetually being worked on. But for whatever reason, and we know the reason, it's not too hard to get around on Sunday mornings. You know it to be true, just like I do. God has entrusted us with much. In the middle of this culture, God is blessing. And God wants us to expand. I shared it briefly at the beginning of the message. We've grown by 125%. These aren't numbers. Every number has a name. Every name has a story. Every story matters to God. We see God leading us to a place and directing us. And as leaders, let me speak to the leaders in the room. It's our job not just to think about next week or even next month. I've got to think about the next 2 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. God, you're doing this now, but what's next for us? And so let me just get right to it because my wife hates it when I do this and I just tease them. I'm sorry, but I need you to hear my heart. I need it to come through. So I'm excited to announce today that we are launching something, first time saying it publicly, called the Kingdom Builders Project. I'm going to break that down for you. It's a big, big announcement. The Kingdom Builders Project. We're going to move forward strongly to what God's called us to, and he has spoken. So there's three things that make this up, and I hope you'll hear me today. Number one is this. God has called us to launch church online. To launch church online. Already, we have so many people. In fact, some of you are sitting here in the service today that listen online. We got people in different cities. We got people in different states listening to the messages online. But that's all they can do right now. They don't get the worship. They don't get the announcements. They don't get the communion, anything like that. Just listening to the message. And I got to tell you that as we launch this, hear me, friend, this will greatly expand our reach with the gospel. That's why we do what we do. So here's what this looks like. As we launch this in the months to come, our entire service will be video recorded. Like the entire service. Yeah. It'll be streamed out live during that time and other times that we schedule, but also the message will be video archived on our website. Y'all know how it works. I'm the same way. We'd rather watch a lot of us a video than listen to just the audio. So this is why this matters. Hear me. This is why this matters. I got a few things, and we'll move on to the next. When we launch this, this allows us to better take care of our servant volunteers. Would you think about it with me? Those that serve in another classroom, discipling our kids, helping in that process, they don't get any of the service. They're going to have to listen to this message online. Later, that's what's going to have to happen. But as we launch church online, they can now experience the entire service later on. They can pull open their phone, a laptop, a tablet, experience the worship, the announcements, the communion, everything they can see once we launch this. Here's the next point of why this matters. This allows us to better minister to our own families that are out of town, that are home with the kids because the kids are sick. This helps us better minister to the people in our church that are serving in our amazing military, that are stationed throughout the United States, that are not close enough, that are stationed overseas. They can now continue. Do y'all get excited about that? I get excited about it. They can now continue to worship with us. And not just that, but it leverages technology to extend our reach with the gospel, because we're no longer limited by people's proximity to our building. This is not a supplement for church, it's not. This is a way for us to reach those that we are not reaching yet. In fact, I love this. I shared this once before, but it's actually written into our bylaws of the church. It's before I got here. Like written into our bylaws that we will use and leverage technology to spread the gospel. It's been a part of us since the beginning. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. I'm excited about this one too. Hang with me. These are all really important. Number two, we want to launch Spanish translation. We want to launch that. We're excited about it. As I've shared many times, and you know this if you've met my wife, but she's full-blooded Hispanic, half Spanish, half El Salvadorian, and we've shared this many times, that we have such a heart for the Hispanic community, like such a heart. And I got to tell you, it's not a coincidence that God brought us to Houston, the fourth largest city, the most diverse city in America. I've told you before, and it's kind of funny, but I am, this little white boy right here, I am a minority in Houston. It's just the truth. And I actually love that. I love that we've got a chance to reach in to the Hispanic community, because here's what I know. Not all are bilingual. Not all are confident enough in their English. There is fertile ground for us to reach those that we have not yet reached. So let me explain what this looks like, because we all go back to maybe a missions trip. There's two people on the platform, or maybe the church you were at before, and they launched a Spanish ministry, but it was separate. Let me share with you what this is going to look like for us. It's going to be different. I'm not saying that those other ways are wrong. Just, we're going to do what God's called us to do. And through the power of technology, we don't have to have a second person on this platform, which means for English speakers like myself, we will never know the difference. Service will not be twice as long if you're going there. It won't be like that. Here's how technology helps this process. We've already looked into it. We haven't bought anything, of course, but we've already looked into it. We can have me speaking, preaching from this platform, somebody in another room listening live to what I'm saying with a microphone in front of them, speaking into the microphone in Spanish, translating it, and it being transmitted to people in the auditorium. And it can all happen like that through assisted listening devices or an app that we're really leaning towards right now as our opportunity. Everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's got something. If not, we can loan somebody something. But it gives us a chance to not change anything here, but reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's wrong to launch a Spanish ministry, but how many of y'all know that the Spanish ministry and the English ministry, they can be in the same building, just at different times, or same time in different rooms, but it still ends up being two churches. And so instead, let's all be together. I mean, if the UN can do it, I think the Church of Jesus Christ can do it. That's about as political as I go. I'm not a politics guy. My hope's in Jesus. I'm just saying. But it was a good example right there. Number three, the last one, to renovate the inside of our building. To renovate the inside of our building. This Easter, this building will have been here 18 years. Easter's April 21st this year. Over the last 15 months, let me catch people up to speed quickly who have just come the last couple of months. But in the last 15 months, we've renovated a lot of the outside of the building. You didn't know this, but we acid washed mold off of our white stone on our building. We sealed that white stone to help prevent it from happening again, or at least delay the process a lot longer. We repaired and we remodeled our monument sign, the one that's at the street right here at Long and Bell, which was a miracle, by the way, because it didn't cost the church anything. God supernaturally provided that. We put up a huge cross, the black one on the front of our building here. We put up a huge cross backlit by LEDs at night, which was also a miracle because it didn't cost us anything from our operating budget. We had several dead trees in front of the facade of our building. We had those excavated and removed to give us better curb appeal. We had calcium deposits sandblasted from our brick on this side of the building. And by the way, it cost the church $0. God did a miracle. We see his hand. And now it's time to renovate some of the inside of the building. I'm going to break this down for you. It's important. I did some research, and according to the National Association of Home Builders, you should replace your home carpets. This is home, not commercial, home. You should replace your home carpet every 5 to 10 years, is what they say. Well, I got to tell you, we're getting on close to 20 years here at a commercial building, and it has not been replaced. Like, it's time. It's time. What am I trying to say? This is not a want, this is a need. It's not a want, it's a need. If you want proof, and I honestly, I'll do this if you want it, but I can take you to many different places throughout our building. Carpet that's ripped, paint that's chipped, just staining from just dirt and residue. I could take you to so many places. I got pictures on my laptop if that's what you want to see. I'm telling you, friend, it's time to repair holes in walls. Stained carpet, ripped carpet, chipped paint, seal cracks in the walls from the building settling. It's time to update our AVL equipment and purchase what we need for church online and Spanish translation. It's time to renovate our auditorium and our kids' classrooms. It's time to rise up and rebuild. And here's what's so great about this, and I told him I was going to say this today, but some of you know, especially those that were here before I got here, our very own Dan Lowry, who helped build this building, by the way, he is going to help us in this process. He's on board. He's excited about it. He's going to find us contractors and make sure they give us a good deal. If you know Dan, you know how he works. Make sure the work is done excellent. And not just him, but we have others in our church. Some names I could even list now saying, hey, I'm going to use my expertise. I'm going to use my skills to help us in this process. Hear me. Don't phase me out. You need to know that all the mentors in my life are saying, yes, this is the time. You need to know that all the elders in this church are saying, yes, this is the time. You need to know that all the staff members in this church are saying, yes, this is the time. This is our moment. I got friends of mine. This blows my mind what God does. We haven't even started this yet. I got friends of mine that are saying, we'll come down to Houston for free and help you launch Church Online in Spanish translation. Like people that are on staff full-time at another church. Like, we'll come down. We believe. So ushers, if you're ready, if you're not ready, get ready with me. But they're going to hand out to you what I hold in my hand. It's a Kingdom Builders Project brochure. And they're going to hand it out. Please hand it out as I'm talking here. I want every single person, not one per couple, not one per family. I want every single person, please, to take one of these home. We designed these. We got these printed. It's going to break down what I'm going to share with you here right now. So as they're handing them out, you guys keep going. But it talks about on the inside right, our timeline. And there'll also be slides behind me for this. What's the timeline? Because this isn't happening tomorrow. I'm giving you time to pray and think about it. The first thing is our kickoff today. This is the first day us making this public to everybody. And elders or ushers, you begin to hand those out, please. Here's the second thing you'll see on our timeline. That we're going to go into a season again of 21 days of prayer. Friend, we're going to pray first. We're going to pray first. And normally what we do during this period of time when we have something big coming up or we do 21 days in a row of prayer, normally what we do is we open up the building on Monday mornings for corporate prayer. We're going to do it differently for this. Instead, we're going to open up the building on Wednesday nights during those 21 days. And so while our Impact students are having service upstairs and we've got some small groups that are happening throughout the community, this auditorium is gonna be opened up. You can see this on the inside right for us to pray and seek the Lord. You can see Wednesday, March 27th, Wednesday, April 3rd, and Wednesday, April 10th. The next big step is over 6 weeks from now, and it's Commitment Sunday. It's Easter. And on that Sunday, giving you plenty of time to pray and think about what God would have you do, on Easter Sunday, April 21st, it will be our Commitment Sunday. And so what we'll do is we'll come together on that day. We're going to worship Jesus. We'll have a lot of fun stuff we'll talk about here in the near future. But we're also going to have each of us turn in our first fruits offering that day, like our best gift to get us started, jump started on that Commitment Sunday. But not just that, we'll turn in our pledge cards. That's what's on the inside of your brochure. And we'll turn that in believing that God's going to help us fulfill a 52-day pledge, which you can see there as well. Starting on Easter Sunday and going through June 11th. On Commitment Sunday, we're believing God. Hear me, friend, it will take a miracle. We're believing God. Go back one slide, you're gonna get ahead of me here, guys. We're believing God on Easter Sunday for 17,000 to come in to get us started on this process, and for the pledges, which is including that 17,000, to equal 52,000. That's what we're believing God for, and that we would raise that money over those next 52 days. Now, I want to tell you that this will not completely renovate our building. It won't even completely renovate the downstairs. It's kind of funny, but it's true. I've got about $100,000 worth of stuff to completely redo the downstairs. And so we have more going above and beyond that. We're ready to go. We are. But that $52,000 will help us greatly impact our kids' classrooms, our auditorium, and then also launching those two ministries and then even some things in our hallway as well. Now you'll go to that slide. You'll see on the back of your brochure what else will happen on Easter. On Easter, we're believing God, we're pushing and we're pulling for 222. What does that mean? Here's what it means. 250 in attendance. It'll be the biggest service that we've had since I've been here and probably one of the biggest we've ever had in our church. 250. We're believing also for 20 salvations. How fun will that be? To see 20 people give their life to Jesus. And not just that, we're asking each of us, my family included, to pray for and invite two people to church on Easter Sunday. Heaven full and hell empty. So let me close by asking for three critical commitments. These aren't in your brochure, so you can close that. You can take that with you today, please. I'm almost done. I just got to get this to you so you can think about it, pray about it. This is your first time, or you've been around even before I got here. I've got three critical commitments I'm asking. Like as your pastor, I'm asking. Number one is to pray. Would you pray with me? If God does this work, it will be Him doing the work. It will be a miracle. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for the elders, the staff. I'm asking you to pray for favor. I'm asking you to pray for the Kingdom Builders Project. That God would open up supernatural doors just like He's done these last 15 months. To pray with me. We need your prayers. We need your prayers. I want to talk to the saints in the room for a second. Those that were at Christ Covenant before I got here. Can I talk to you just for a second here? Please hear my heart. I know you've been a part of building God's kingdom in the past. I know you sacrificed. Maybe you even sacrificed for this building. And here's what I'm asking of you, the saints in the room. I'm telling you, I need you. Like, I want you to be a part of this. We cannot do this without you. This is not your moment to sit back and let a younger generation lead. We need you leading. Like, I mean that. We need you committed, praying to not sit back, but to press in and show us what it looks like to believe God for a miracle. We need you. Let me talk to the new people like myself in the room. I know we got a lot of us. I want to share with you, hear my heart. We need you. This is not your moment. Well, I'll let them figure it out and I'm going to enjoy the benefits of it. You need a sacrifice for it too. There's too much to accomplish for God's kingdom. I'm not trying to build anybody else's kingdom but God's kingdom. We've got to sacrifice and we got to give and we got to pray and we got to believe God. The beauty of church is us all coming together to do the work of God. Here's the second one. I'm asking you to commit to serve. Not only are we going to be launching two new ministries, if you got an interest in technology or maybe you're bilingual, we have many in our church, like let us know. And not just in those areas, but in other areas. Here's what happens, unfortunately. As churches grow, they usually keep the same amount of volunteers. So it's the same volunteers doing twice the work. That's not how it should be. So let's get involved. I'm asking, these are critical that you would serve. In fact, we got a full growth track after this to serve. And here's number three, to lead the way financially. I'm not arm twisting here. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I will never do that. You have 6 weeks to pray, 6 weeks to seek God and ask Him what He's called you to do. My wife and I, just like we've done in every single offering, we will lead the way in this. But I'm asking you to lead the way as well, to listen to God and do what he says. And so these next 6 weeks, we'll be in a series on the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah, in 52 days, rebuilt the walls of the temple. And we're going to see so many correlations between what they accomplished and what God has called us to accomplish. We're starting a faith journey together, and God is leading. I want you to bow your heads with me, close your eyes. God, I poured out my heart today. The vision that you so clearly spoke to me. And I pray, God, that your church, your holy church, would receive it today. God, you desire our cooperation. You desire our obedience. And I pray even now, Lord, that you confirm in every heart. Seal the word in our hearts, God. There's many to reach. Now is the time. God, we thank you for what you've done these last 15 months, but we believe it's only the beginning. God, it takes time for revitalization. We know that. But we are just in awe of what you've already done. And we have faith that you will continue the great work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and I know we're a little bit longer on time, give me grace. I had so much to share with you. God, I pray right now for any person underneath the sound of my voice, any person listening online or here in this room that's far from you. This is why we're doing Kingdom Builders Project. We want to reach more people with the gospel. It's good news. It's good news. I just pray, Lord, that if anybody listening is far from you, I pray, God, they would surrender their life to you. Even now, no one looking but me, but if you're far from God, I'm going to ask you just to begin to, underneath the sound of your voice, underneath your breath, just begin to pray to God. Just ask him right where you're seated or right where you're listening, just ask him to forgive you of your sins. Come on, right there where you are. You don't have to raise your voice, just loud enough where you can hear it. We ask you now, forgive us of our sins. Put your trust and belief in Jesus for the first time or first time in a long time. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so we ask you right now, anybody that's far from you, they ask you with their own words to forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our mistakes. Make us brand new. We apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. Free us from our past. We surrender. Come on, right there where you are, you just surrender your life to Jesus. He sees you. He hears you. We surrender our life to you. You lead and we'll follow. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking today. Thank you for what you've done in hearts. Thank you that destinies are being altered right now. People on their way to hell, but they surrendered all to you. And now they're on their way to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.